Thankful for that good singing. Thankful that I'm able to come in here and preach tonight. Thank you for everybody for coming out to listen to me. Preaching very long, only about 6 or 7 months. I was saved when I was 13 years old, 1996, 21 years ago. But I never growed in the Lord. I got out of the way of the Lord. My sins carried me away. I got involved with this old world until about a year ago. A year ago today, I've been clean. I haven't done any drugs. I haven't smoked a cigarette. I've been serving the Lord. He's been real good to me. He's put my family back in my life, my kids. And I just thank Him for everything that He's done for me. We'll be in the book of James, chapter number 5, verse number 13. And the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just help me here for just a few minutes, Lord Jesus. I can't do this without you. I need you to help me. If you don't help me, I can't help them, Lord Jesus. Just help me for just a few minutes. Empty of myself and fill me with the Spirit, Lord God, that I may be able to help somebody tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This world is suffering from the lack of prayer. You can see it all over the place. The people are suffering from addiction. They're suffering from all kinds of different things. They want to call addiction a disease. They want to blame everything on everything else. I seen on the news the other day where the overdose rate in 10 months in Knoxville is the same as it was a year ago in 12 months. And that's sad. And this world don't have only a drug problem or it has a sin problem. This whole world does. And everybody is suffering because we won't pray for them. I was a lost sinner. We were all lost sinners until somebody prayed for us. Prayer does work. So I want to pray for just a few, or preach for just a few minutes on the power of prayer. Some of our loved ones are going to die and go to hell because we don't pray for them. Church, we gather on Sunday morning and we gather on Sunday night and Wednesday night by the altar. And we take prayer requests and we pray. But when we walk out those doors, are we still praying for those prayer requests? Are we still holding up to our end of the deal? Are we praying for our others? Like it says, pray one for another. Are we still doing that? Is that, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of telling somebody I'll pray for them and then I'll walk off and I won't pray for them. So I've tried to get in the habit the last little while that if I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I do a little mental prayer in my mind for them right there. That way I don't forget. But sometimes at night, even when I do that, when I lay down to go to bed at night time, the Holy Spirit will start getting in my mind. And He'll say, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray for this person. You need to pray for that person. So before I know it, I've been laying there and I've been praying for 2 hours. I ain't been asleep yet, still praying. I'll pray and I'll think I'm over praying. I'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. 30 seconds later, something else will pop in my head and I'll start praying because I need prayer. I know that prayer works. I want to look at three different people in the Bible that were definitely prayer warriors and how they had different circumstances from each prayer, but I want to look at them. And it says, okay, that Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions. That means he was of the same nature we are. He was under the same stress of everyday life. He was under the same things every day, but he prayed. Okay, and in 1 Kings chapter 18, he prayed and he made the fire fall. He was going up against all those false prophets and those gods, and they said, well, our God's God. He said, no, my God's God. He said, well, I'll get a bullock. I'll get a bull and you get a bull, and we'll build up an altar. And you can set your wood under yours, but don't set it on fire, and then I'll set mine under mine. So those false prophets got to praying. They prayed from the morning all the way until the evening. He started making fun of them, saying, what are you going to do? You got to go wake your God up? Or, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, He is God, right? So they started cutting themselves, and they started screaming out to Him. Nothing happened. So He says, let me fill mine up. So He goes and gets his bullock. He sets it up on the altar. He digs a trench around it, and they pour water on it. Water fills up the trench all the way around. He gets to praying to God. He says, God, let them know that you are God. And God sends the fire from heaven. Boom, it starts it on fire. And all those people, what did they do? They fell on their face, and they believed, and they know that God was God. God because they've seen it. And church, if we'd start praying, if we'd start praying for revival in this world, if we start praying for the people in this world, other people that was lost started seeing this happen, they would fall on their face and they would know that God was God. And then he started praying again and the rain fell. It started raining again. Everybody knew that God was God because he started praying. He was under the same stress in everyday life that we are. If we're serving the same God as they were serving, if he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, he can do the same thing for us if we just start praying, church. All we got to do is just start praying. Prayer is our secret weapon. You know, you got the armor of God in Ephesians 5. And it goes on to say, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with perseverance by supplications for all saints. That means to be persistent and beg earnestly for every saint, every time that a brother or a sister makes a request for prayer, humbly beg for them to get their prayer answered. And so it's like you have people want to only pray when they're in the darkness, or they only want to pray when they're in distress. They only want to pray till they see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then when they see just a little light, they want to stop praying. I remember one time I was in a certain circumstance, and I prayed to God. He answered my prayer. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I looked over to a guy, and I said, ain't it funny we pray until we get what we want, and then we stop praying? A week later from there, I was in a worse situation than I was when I first started praying for the other one. And that'll happen if you stop praying. You always got to pray. I'm sure that Brother Josh has heard my dad stand and weep and cry many a times asking prayer for me and my brother, many a times. And I know that they prayed for me, and I know that that's what works. I went to Crossroads Rescue Mission on November 8th. I'm not sure if any of you all are familiar with that, but it's a faith-based rehabilitation center where it's solely off of the Bible. They teach you the Bible. It's not NA or AA. It's not a 12-step program. It's a one-step program. You step out and let God handle it, and that's what he does. Okay, I went there, and I've been in many churches. We would travel around. We would go testify in churches. We would go sing in churches. And you wouldn't believe the people that would come up and say, we've been praying for you. People we've never seen before in our lives, we've been praying for you. We've been praying for you. We've been praying for you. And that's what works. And you're like, man, surely they ain't been praying for me. But they really have. They've been praying for us. So that's what works. In Psalms 51, we all know that, David, after he done went into Bathsheba and he committed his sin, and all that, he gets to praying to the Lord. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and I done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts of thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou thy lips and my mouth, and shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness and with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shalt thou offer bullocks upon the altar. In verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He needed forgiveness. He needed forgiveness from the God, just like we need forgiveness from him every single day. We constantly need forgiveness because we're constantly sinning. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me with thy revealing. He needed cleansing. He needed to be cleansed out from all his iniquities and all his sins. He's begging the Lord here, please, God, help me. And then in verse 11, he says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If that's what we deserve. We deserve to be cast away from him. And we deserve to have the Holy Spirit because we're unclean. Yeah. We're no good at all. But he's begging him right here. This is a prayer that we should pray every day. I should have to pray it every day, just to be honest with you, because, you know, none of us are in the right way. We all sin and we all doing the wrong things. And the next person I want to look at is Daniel. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. He prayed and fasted for 3 weeks, begging the Lord for understanding of what was going on with him. He said, and then chapter 6. And now, when Daniel I knew this writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He set a certain time a day, every day, to go pray to God. No matter what was going on, he went and he prayed to God and he gave him thanks. He not only asked him for help or asked him for blessings, but he gave him thanks. The other day, me and my little girl was sitting watching TV and the commercial come on. You know those St. Jude's Children's Hospitals where the little girl have cancer? The first time it went across, it tugged at my heart a little bit. Second time it went across, I just started crying. My little girl said, "Daddy, why don't they have their hair?" I said, "Because they're sick." So I would sit there and I begin to think, when is the last time I ever even thanked God for 2 healthy little girls? When is the last time that I thanked him? So I begin to cry and I begin to thank him for my 2 little healthy girls because I couldn't even remember a time whenever I did tell him. Never did. And I begin to ask him to forgive me for not thanking him for having 2 healthy children. You know, we forget so much when we go to pray to God. All we want, you know, in James chapter 4, it says, "You have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss so that you can fulfill your own lusts." That's all we worry about a lot of times is our own problems and our own pleasures. But, you know, I can't exactly remember where it says it, but it says, when you praise God for somebody else, or you pray for somebody else, that pleases God more than it does when you praise God for yourself. So, you know, we got to give thanks to the Lord. I know that I don't all the time, and I fall short on that, and we all do, but we have to do that. We have to thank him for it because we don't deserve nothing that he give us, not a thing. And in chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy of them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." So he set his face to the Lord and he was just thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. In verse number 17, it says, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." He prayed that the Lord would get glory out of what he was praying for right there. And we need to pray that the Lord's will be done, not our own. Yes. We need to pray that he gets the glory out of whatever goes on in our lives. And I try to pray that all the time, that God, you get the glory out of it. And sometimes your flesh only wants to worry about your flesh. But, you know, you got to pray in the Spirit. You got to be in the Spirit. And you got to thank God, you got to get the glory out of this no matter what. Because, you know, he's going to get the glory if you let him. But if you want to step out on your own way and your own will, you can't give God no glory like that. So he's done so much for me. And, you know, like I said, I haven't been preaching very long, but I'll do whatever it is for God to get the glory out of me. In order, because he's just done so much for me. He's released me from the bondage of sin, from addiction. He's put my family back in my life. And I still have things from my past that has come up on me. And I need your prayers a lot, what I'm going through. And it's a step process. And every step that I've taken, it seems like, you know, this time I'm not going to make it past this one. And then I pray and have people pray and I make it past this step. And then the next step, I'm like, I'm not going to make it past this one. So I pray and I make it past this step. And so I'm almost toward the end of it, but it seems like it gets harder and harder every time, but I desire your prayers and wish that you would pray for me. Amen. And, you know, if you had today only what you thank God for yesterday, what would you have? What would you have if you had today only what you thank God for yesterday? That's really all I have tonight. I hope that maybe I help somebody. You know, I'm not very long-winded yet. I try to preach what's on my heart, try not to get out on no rabbit trails or nothing like that. I try to preach the word, and that's it. I thank you for having me come.